I'm Thomas, and I'm playing a one-on-one game of Runaway Hirelings with Tony Aubert. Runaway Hirelings is a game about hirelings, so the people that have very specialized sets of skills. And they're good at like one thing. So trap poker is great at poking traps. Everything else, they're not so great at. And at the end of the dungeon, they're trying to work their way out. Tony is playing a...
I am a trap poker, and maybe later a slop chef if I die.
Yes. And it'll be glorious. As long as the internet decides to cooperate.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go through this. The first step is introducing the world. I'm going to ask two questions. We're going to brainstorm some ideas. And this will be essentially what I draw, what we can essentially draw from as, okay... Kind of like, oh, this is the Squid People dungeon type of thing. It's a broad, overarching keyword that it's everywhere. So, first question is, where is this dungeon in the world?
All right. So, lately I've been kind of into sort of a lost civilizations kind of deal, like, I don't know, something like ancient Egyptian. Some sort of like Cthulian, you know, ancient crypts kind of thing with, you know, untold horrors and whatnot, kind of lurking around. Mm-hmm. So kind of, I've been in the mood for that lately.
That's pretty cool. All right. So like, what would be a weird place to have pyramids? The Arctic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty Lovecraftian.
Arctic pyramids that have like six sides, but you still think they're pyramids because they look like it until you get close enough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Arctic pyramids, in other words, Cthulhu-based snow level of a video game.
Yeah.
All right.
Something nice. Like the thing.
Yeah. Weird frozen stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to latch onto the word Cthulhu because that's fun. So Arctic Cthulhu pyramids. All right, now I'm going to ask one more question for us to kind of like brainstorm some more stuff. We know that we start in the treasure room. So, and there's always a big bad boss monster. So what, and it doesn't have to be like just a singular monster. So what monster killed your employers? Because of course you were led here by a heroic hero who died.
So I'm kind of seeing like some kind of weird, like egg chamber kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Something like, you know, something from like say Aliens or something like that, where it's like just a shit ton of like, weird like eggs just like dotted all over like this sort of domed room, like it's a some sort of like ritualistic like egg chamber or something like that.
Yeah, and like the frost has it kind of like, so they're like some of them are encased in ice, but like they're starting to slowly melt, which is why they started hatching.
Yeah And like, you know, maybe the adventurers got like, you know, overwhelmed by just like the sheer number of them, but still managed to like, you know, kill most of them except for the ones that are like currently thawing.
Ah, so hordes. Yeah, they before they died, they shattered most of the eggs so that you could survive.
Yeah.
Conveniently, because, almost.
Because they're the heroes.
Yeah,
that's how they roll.
Yeah. So there we go. All right, now. Introduce your character. Tell me what build question you chose. What's your answer to that question? And then what you chose for advantages, disadvantages, your name, anything that's important to you.
Okay. So this trap poker's name is... his name is Rosemary. Mother was a bit of a fan of cooking, and his father wasn't necessarily there like three quarters of the time. So His mother was like, you know what? Rosemary's a good name. It's pretty. I like Rosemary. So.
Nice.
His name's Rosemary. Naturally for a trap poker is a large metal stick. And I'm thinking of giving him the 30-foot rope, you know, as like his side item.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, his advantages. So I use my long metal stick to pole vault to the, and the I can direct the construction of an original track design.
All right. And then what was the second one? Direct the construction.
Yes.
All right. And your disadvantage?
Disadvantage?
There's so many wonderful choices.
Oh, yeah. Like, I like the you see a sharp cliff. Yeah. Like it's just like...
What's your fear? Cliffs. Edges of heights. It paralyzes me in fear. It's like the most mundane out of all of them, I think.
It is, but I feel like it could have the most, like, comedic potential.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, just suddenly a cliff, and it's like, ah!
Yeah, so I'm going to go with you see a sharp cliff.
Right, you see a sharp... cliff. Okay.
And then the build, the why are you on permanent retainer and even have a small bed in the barn of your employer's house? So reason for that was I was with one of the I used to be one of the adventurers, like I was his like permanent trap poker. I've been with a handful of his adventures, and so he, you know, typically took me along in a handful of things, and I don't know, like I guess I just like proved usefulness, and I guess I kind of survived the longest as far as the other henchmen were concerned.
You were competent.
Yeah.
At the one thing you were supposed to do.
Yeah. Like about as competent as a trap poker can be.
Yeah. You are a mouse that springs traps.
Yeah. And I'm rather clever at it. So like that's pretty much what's gotten me as far like as it has.
Mm-hmm. All right. So next, what is one? The treasure room is kind of like a truncated dungeon room in that it is this the dungeon the treasure room we have essentially gone over, but we're going to describe it essentially. You tell me what is one thing that is noticeable about the treasure room, and then I'll tell you one. It doesn't have to be important. It can be important.
So I'm thinking what could be like a pretty important, you know, thing is the, there's a bunch of these like weird little mechanisms that are long broken down that, you know, perhaps like rotated the eggs, you know, here and there. You know, most of them are in shambles, but they look kind of like crude grabber arms, and you can see that there's like an egg actually like still in one of their like.
So kind of like that scene in Jurassic Park where it's the robot hand that turns them.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of like an incubator assistance, something like that.
Cool. All right, and one other thing that you notice about the treasure room as you hurriedly rush towards the door to head to what you assume is the escape room, what is the escape, is that when the ice on the inside of the place that is kind of like held these eggs lost in time, when it started melting, it started pooling up, and it pooled up in a it pools up very flat. It doesn't ripple or anything, but every once in a while you see a bubble come up, and once it goes into it rises up out of the water and then goes into the air. It's almost like a bubble blower kind of thing, bubble. Except that it's purple and you cannot see through it, and it rises up and then it pops on the ceiling and it paints that part where it popped purple.
Huh. Strange.
Yep. Purple flopping bubbles. So we're going to head to the first door. I imagine that there's as you look around the room, it's sort of like a cylinder kind of shape. It goes very, very high up, and you can see all along this curved wall there are just smashed eggs that kind of like look like they're webs that are weaved upon itself and overweaved and weaved and weaved. While the fight was occurring between your boss and the hordes, you got a good look at one of these eggs up close behind a rock, and you saw that it looked like just compacted webs until it became hardened, and that's what the eggs look like. So giant cylindrical room that goes up, tons of eggs on all the walls, and there is the main door that you came in through, which has kind of like this big arch. It's like a curved arch, but if you were to touch it, you could cut your hands off the sharp corners. And then there is a spiral staircase that goes down, which just started forming after the horde was defeated. It just like started revealing itself, national treasure style. So which way do you care to go? Rosemary.
I guess I'll take the arch.
The arch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of feel like that's kind of like one of those like blatant like exit kind of things.
Yeah, it's like, huh, maybe the way I came in is the best way to escape. Okay. Yeah. So since we are entering a new room, we go to the all important rule about such things. As I try to find the page, because I have it, I don't. Okay, so we're entering the next room. So when the group finds a way out or is about to enter the next room, the player whose turn it is gains one flow point. Essentially, it's your turn. Every other turn, it'll be my turn, since we're playing 1v1, essentially. Right. So the prompt that you don't answer, I answer. The prompt that I don't choose, you answer.
Okay.
Right? So you get a flow point, first off.
All right.
So you're at one. And so what will you choose? Name it or introduce a problem that you can sense, something you smell, hear, whatever.
I'll start off with a name.
Okay.
So the name of this room is sort of like oily nonsense.
Oily nonsense. All right. And you taste the problem as you taste. It kind of tastes like what you'd imagine condensed bitterness tastes like, but it's metal. It's like a metal bitterness with an aftertouch of sweet actually, it's kind of like it's so dark a purple that you can barely tell it's purple. It's almost black. Just as you're screaming, as you're going through, just plops in your mouth. And you look around and you see oily nonsense, in that you see oil just kind of like pulsating in different shapes. So you'll see like a square rectangular column come out of the oil and then pop, and then there will be nothing underneath it. But it's like, why did it come up with like right angle corners for a bubble? And then you see small things scurrying around on the ground, or trying to, but they seem almost trapped in the black, in the purple oil. it's almost like stickier than molasses, and it's darker than molasses, and it's less fun. But you see like these little kind of like little arms just kind of like confusedly twisting, trying to just grab at the oil, but it's not grabbing. You'll see a spinning wheel, kind of like a gear, come up out, and then like an arm rotate, and then it kind of gets jammed, and you see it stop spinning and then jerk around a little, continue spinning, stop spinning. And you can see directly ahead of you the way out, but you also see just tons of this purple oil everywhere, and that may be the issue. So yeah, what you gonna do? Feel free to ask questions, by the way.
Okay, so like, so you said that the oil was kind of like sort of becoming like inflating, sort of like a bubble, but in non understandable shapes.
Yeah, shapes that would not ever form as a bubble.
Yeah, like if I were to poke them, do they deflate or do they pop?
If you poke one, it's almost like every item is covered in soap, in that if you poke it, are you actually gonna poke it? You can do that kind of
thing. I'll yeah. Actually
the stick actually goes in and it doesn't pop, but if you pull it out, the hole causes it to pop.
Okay. Interesting. So, like, it actually pops, though, like a balloon or something. Like,
yeah, similar to a balloon. As soon as the hole is completely, once there's nothing in it, it'll pop.
Okay. So it's generating some kind of, like, gaseous thing. That's weird.
Yes.
So to get to the next room, I just have to, there's like a corridor of this stuff.
Yes. The room is not really a room, it's just a wide hallway.
Okay. Okay, so I guess what I'm going to do, like, sort of in an attempt to use my advantage, but I'm going to try to use the long metal stick, kind of like a pole vault.
Okay.
And, you know, just, like, at certain points, like, I probably won't, like, do it the whole way because, I mean, that sounds tiring. But I'll do it at, like, you know, most necessary points where it's, like, you know, reflexive.
Mm-hmm.
To like, okay, go over a thing.
So just so you avoid touching it, kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Because like, I don't want to know what'll happen if like my foot were to fall into like a nice deep goop.
Makes sense. All right. So since you're using your advantage, that's doing something. I gotta scroll back. Doing something that isn't your thing at all, which means you roll a d6, and on a 5 or 6, you do the best that a hireling with a very specialized set of skills can do. But since you're using an advantage, you roll 2d6, and you choose, and you take the higher.
Alrighty. 3 and 1.
Darn.
So I'll take that 3.
Yep. Which means you stumble and fail. What is one way that this could have gone wrong?
I mean, maybe I like misjudged how deep one of the like ooze puddles was. So like, maybe I just like suddenly like flumped into there like a lot deeper than expected, and like, I just like straight up stumble and just face plant into the stuff.
That sounds pretty good. So, when you go to pole vault, you're like, oh man, I'm really great at pole vaulting. And then when you get to the kind of the top of it, your rod just goes down and you go down following after it. So roll 2d6 plus 2, and that's how much gold you lose. You started with 20, by the way.
Okay, so I lost 10 gold.
Okay. So you're at 10. You're halfway there. When you fall through the oily floor, you kind of feel it wrap around you. And it comes down, and you find yourself within a round bubble drifting downwards, and you can kind of see a yellowish light, and then an eye flicker in the wall as you continue to sink, and you sink past it. It traces you, and then other eyes start to open up, and they also trace you, and you continue following down, and you fall through a trapdoor, which leads you into the next room.
Well, I just went downwards. I want to go up.
The fun of transitions. I'm going to name this room, and I'm going to name this the Shackles of he who could not have been named.
Okay, so shackles of he who could not have been named.
Yep.
So I'm gonna sort of keep going with the like the eye motif that you were doing. This room is, sort of domed, and I seem to have come in through basically like the center of it. But the entire room, actually, it's not even a dome; it's like a sphere. Think like in Event Horizon, like whenever they're in like the weird like.
I actually haven't seen that movie.
Oh, you need to. It's so good. So imagine it's like a big like open sphere, and then a sort of like a platform in the center of it that's just sort of like a walkway, and it's only on like it only goes in one direction to like another door, but lining the walls are just like thousands and thousands of the eyes that I, you know, saw going down of just like varying, you know, shapes and sizes. And they're all just sort of like blinking in different like times. And some of them seem to like bulge a little bit and like grow and then shrink. And they're just like a constantly changing like vistage. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what you see.
Yeah, that's what I see.
All right. So you see that, and as your bubble hits the floor, it pops, and you find yourself on the actual floor itself, and kind of the black goo, you see it kind of just like spiral off like rainwater dripping off a windshield kind of thing. Like it just spirals down your step down and then into the walls, and you see an eye just blink, and then it seems a little bit more moist. As your eyes sort of adjust to this different type of light, you can notice that when the eyeballs blink, it almost seems like a metallic mechanism, and you can see chains attached to the inside parts of what you would assume would be an eyelid, almost like the eyes themselves are shackled by lids. And there's also like various runes. If you were to go up and just kind of like just pry one of the eyelids down to look at it, but that may be less than a great idea. So any questions about this place?
No, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to play with the eyes, and hopefully make my way down the corridor.
Okay.
Or the walkway kind of thing.
Yeah. It appears like a corridor at first until you start walking along it, and then you see that, oh, it's hard to tell because it as you walk along it, the edges of the floor just expand off and off and off. And it's not a cliff. Thank goodness. But it just kind of expands. And at the end of the walkway, as all the eyes just follow you and start blinking more, you can kind of hear the clanging of the eyelids as they blink and the chains moving around. An eye, or what looked like a white doorway. You can see, suddenly you notice that there are veins on this doorway, kind of like little blood vessels, and it spins back, and a giant pupil looks at you. And inside you see your reflection.
Oh.
And it, and the reflection starts to speak to you. Hello. I see you and all parts of you. What have you done?
I mean it's a little difficult for him to like comprehend all of this, but Rosemary just like, it's like what do you mean, what have I done? It's like I kind of fell in here.
Yeah, but you came here, and now it is warm.
Like this tomb itself is warm? I'm not sure what you mean.
You have given us warmth. Our sacrifice was great for warmth.
I mean, warmth is good, though.
Yes.
Like, so, did I do good on you?
Thank you for your thank you for the warmth.
Oh, good.
Will you give us more?
Depends on what it is you want me to do.
Warmth. The warmth is inside you.
I kind of look down at myself and is like, technically, yes.
It was inside your friends.
Yes.
Melt our embrace. If you give us a little bit of your warmth, I will open the door for you.
Not sure what that entails. I'm like, I guess I can like start running in place or
a little bit of like a little bit of light flickers below you as you see a small eye just blink open on the floor, which you did not see before.
Oh, fun.
And it looks at you and it seems oh so dry. It could use some warmth.
I spit on it.
It blinks and the spit just trails off of it. It's not was not the warmth. The red warmth.
Oh, blood. Fun. Don't seem to have any advantage or anything on this. Okay.
You could trap poker your way somehow. You don't have to directly comply. You can essentially BS your way through things.
True.
You just have to have a compelling argument.
Okay, so here's here's what I do. I'm like, look, you don't want to get the red warmth. Technically speaking, like, I can start sweating and you can use clear warmth. That should work just as fine, I think. And on top of that, it's like a practically infinite reserve so long as I have something to drink, contrary to blood, which I only have so much of to give.
Okay.
It's like, what if I did that for you?
That would be... We can try that.
It's worth a shot.
Proceed to sweat for us.
So Rosemary, the trap poker, sort of some quick thinking, wasn't particularly known for his dancing skills, but he'd basically like attempts a kind of using his pole as like a prop to like, you know, sort of like a color guard sort of routine.
Okay.
Kind of starts doing that stuff, doing lots of kicks, trying to work up a sweat, and peppers in some like blade and exercise moves just to kind of,
yeah,
you know, really get the juices flowing.
Are any of these moves learned from your career?
He
jabbing motions.
definitely some jab kind of things. He throws in like a pole vault here and there, like, because even though it kind of failed him like earlier, mm-hmm. he still trusts his skill at that. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to do that periodically, you know, just to kind of switch up the routine a tiny bit. And, you know, that should definitely get the sweat going. And on top of this is a very high pressure situation, so probably perspiring like crazy right now.
Yeah.
So like when I get like a really good sweat going, I just like scrape it off my forehead and just like slap it onto the eye.
Okay. So your entire routine sounds like it's sort of dangerous, and also that like there's some stuff that can go wrong.
Oh, easily.
So let me try to remember. Let's see. Your specialty is detecting and disarming hidden traps. And dancing does not sound like it's something you normally do.
No, he's like I said, he's really not much of a dancer.
Yeah. So roll with advantage. So 2d6, take the higher one. Since you did include pole vaulting with a metal stick.
So I got a 4 and I got a 6.
Ooh, good. You succeeded.
Much better than last time.
Thank goodness. All right. So as you wipe your sweat on the small eye, you're dripping with sweat at this point. It was quite the routine. You don't know how long it took. You look at the large eye, which has your reflection in it, which was talking to you and moving independent of you. It grabs on to if you were looking through a pane of glass, it's almost like it touched an invisible doorknob on the glass, and it pulls it, and it becomes out of view as the eyelid, or as the black part of the eye, which whatever that's called, I can't remember exactly. It just swings inward on the eye, so you can now walk through the eye and you see this kind of stone corridor, which is almost like a round tube that you can see kind of like the floor spirals onto the ceiling and then onto the wall. So you can go, that's your way out.
Cool. I thank the eye for its time and patience, and
thank
then
you.
Just skedaddle as quickly as possible, because I do not want to deal with that again.
Okay. So going that way, you come upon the next room. So take another flow point. and choose which you'd rather do, name or problem.
I'll do the problem this time.
Okay.
So I so this room, like you said, it's kinda like a sort of like a stone.
That was the passageway that you're going through. Imagine kind of like a rope. You were going through, if those ropes were tubes, one of those tubes.
Oh, okay. Then, okay, so this next room, it's sort of like a, it looks like a, kind of like a large, sort of like column in the room. It's like a, it's like a big cylinder, and sort of like a spiral staircase, like situated in the center, going straight up. But it's like incomplete. It's, you know, it's old. It's busted and broken. So like it's missing chunks. But it seems like along the walls are sort of. Sort of like smaller, lesser columns, almost sort of ceremonial looking. I don't know, like relief sculptures, like etched in everything.
Okay.
But yeah, something like that.
And this space is going to be called. Wrote the Steps to Solitary Confinement.
That sounds fun.
Yes. So the spiral staircase, as you described, is unfinished. Along the walls, you see the various images, as you described, etchings, just visual things. On some of them, you can see what are obviously humanoid on the ones that are closer to the floor. And as you go up, it seems almost like a de-evolution of humanoid. And then and as far up as you can go, if you were to go up the staircase, or at least as far up as you can see, it almost de-evolve people, like apes, less than apes, fish. Mm-hmm. Less than fish, amoeba, and then it gets bigger again as it goes up into just a more like different shapes. Like it becomes ooze at one point.
Yeah.
So. And the ooze almost and then it shows kind of like a well, you can only assume is kind of like a ship of some sort, but it's rounded almost like a meteor. And it shows the ooze rolling out of that meteor.
Okay, so it's almost like some kind of weird ancestry line kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh. I mean, that sounds pretty cool. Too bad he's not a... Rosemary's not a scholar, otherwise he would be all over this.
Yep. It would be quite the story to tell the people back at your village.
Yep. Unfortunately, I probably don't even understand the significance of any of this.
No, probably like, not.
Yeah, Rosemary could, like, I don't know, mention it in passing and get it all completely wrong. but still, he likes the pretty pictures.
Yeah. So it looks like the way forward is obviously the staircase up, but the staircase looks incomplete. So it looks like as soon as you get to the top where it is incomplete, you would have to scale up the center column that the staircase is wrapped around like a coil.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I mean, so what I'm going to do to go up the staircase... Because, like, this is Trap Poking 101. He, like, this is practically, like, why he exists. So as he's, like, going up the steps, he's using the pole to just sort of, sort of like tap like every few steps up just to kind of make sure that he like, you know, doesn't step on like a part that's just like blatantly cracked and then it just like collapses under his feet. So like he's taking it slow. He's like, this is going to take some time, but this is my job. Okay. So he, you know, like basically just poking and prodding like ahead of him up the stairs just to make sure that like, you know, he doesn't, you know, misstep and then, you know, die.
Okay. So as you're going up, since this is your specialty and you did explain why it is your job, as you poke along, you poke at one step and it retreats back into the column. And then you just hear a almost as if it just fell through the inside of the column downwards.
Weird.
Yep.
So like,
and you look at the wall and the relief that would have been in line with that step is now missing.
So it's almost like it's like erasing itself as I would ascend, or
yeah, like on certain ones it seems they just recede inwards into the column and then you assume just fell down like a penny down a well.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. But you can just hop over that. So.
Yeah. So then you said only like every few or so does that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then I guess I'm going to have to step my game up a bit more and, you know, just be even more cautious.
Okay. So as you go up, a few of the reliefs disappeared, including the one that had the kind of like spherical shape landing on like crashing into earth and then the ooze coming out. That one disappears. As a player, you know that. Your character does not know that because they don't remember that picture. And it looks like the staircase got higher because the number of like there are an extra number of steps compared to how many got taken away. And they have further relief. Like, you can see some new reliefs at this height, such as a kind of in an oddly angled corner. Like if you were inside a cube and looking at just one of the four corners from the inside.
Yeah.
It looks like that, except that if you look longer at it, it just opens up and it suddenly develops a fourth inside corner and becomes a long rectangle. Yeah, and then longer you look at it kind of as a relief. It kind of hurts. It's a little more than three dimensions to think about.
So like almost like constantly altering the geometry.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It hurts to look at it.
Yeah, I don't think Rosemary would like that very much.
That sounds complicated.
But I definitely like the idea of the the meteor ship thing crash landing on Earth and like basically spreading life.
Yeah.
Like basically being like the cause of life. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. If you could remember it.
Oh, yeah. If Rosemary would remember it, that would be awesome. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, he probably doesn't.
So you continue to ascend the column?
Oh, yeah. Again, okay. I'm still being cautious and, like, trying not to stare too much at the ever-changing geometry.
Yeah. The main challenge was the stairs, of course. Climbing is a cinch. So climbing up this column, you get to the top and you see in the column itself is almost a little hole that you're able to crawl into and then pull yourself up out of a circular hole in the ground. And you find yourself in the next room. And don't take a flow point. It is my turn to choose. We're going to introduce a problem, and it's going to be something that you can hear. So you hear kind of like muttering, but it's kind of like a babbling brook. Like you think it sounds almost like a human voice, but then when you listen, it sounds more like just water running over and hitting rocks. And then it slowly turns into like a roaring rapid, and then the sound of static on a television, as it just becomes more and more sounds until it becomes just a single sound once again. And then you avert your attention for a second, then reavert it, and you hear what has brought you here, son? So what is the name of this room?
Let's see. I wanna say like echo chamber, some like echo chamber of the chanters.
Okay. What has brought you here, son?
I'm just trying to get out of here.
It is pitch black in this room, by the way.
So I guess I'm not like looking at anything in particular.
Nope.
I just sort of, you know, kind of like keep looking around the room just to make sure that something doesn't just kind of like pop out of nowhere and, you know, get the jump on me. But I, you know, respond kind of hastily. And it's like, I'm just trying to get out of here. I don't know where I am at all anymore. I fell into the floor and then, yeah.
Why did you come here, son?
So came here with basically my client. He sort of ruined some of your eggs. Sorry about that. I was a friend of his, but he's dead now, and now I'm just trying to escape.
We will.
I kind of have like a weird, like sheepish grin on my face
that no one can see.
Yes.
We will reveal ourselves so we can discuss your transgressions. And a light comes on and you see a podium rise out of the ground with a human being standing on it. He is completely nude, except for a small hat.
Okay, I mean...
It's kind of like a cone dunce hat.
Definitely not the weirdest thing I've seen today.
A second podium with no one on it rises up. And the naked man with the weird hat, his hat turns, it folds in on itself and folds out on itself to become an origami spider covered with human ears. And it skitters off to rise onto the top of the new column. And then a third podium rises up, and the naked human male, you see just its arms go limp, almost like sleeves, and skeletal bones peel open the mouth, and a skeleton comes out of the naked human male, floppy skin, and sits at the third podium. The skin is almost like a blob at this point, but it still can speak. The spider listens, and the skeleton just... speculates. He does all the motions.
So it's like three pieces of a conversation independent.
Yes. Yep.
Really good image in my head though.
Yeah, it's fun. So the skin blob on the first podium says to you, "We know what you have done and the gifts you have given, but you have taken so much, but you personally have not taken so much. How much did you come here Was our sacrifice pleasing to you, son? Was it according to the plan?
Well, I mean,
your gifts have been plentiful.
Oh yes, I'll be doing quite well for myself if I get out of here. I mean, the original plan was a little bit more grandiose, but my client kind of, you know, didn't see things through the way that he was intending. So, I mean, I'm making do with what I have, and I'm more than grateful for it. And yeah.
You see the skeleton wildly waving its arms and it starts making kind of like gestures that you, for any other human would seem rude. And then you see the ear spider. It's one of its, paper arms goes into the ear and then pulls out a small cube. A small hairy cube, and the skin blob says, "Ah, yes, but you should do much better for yourself now. Now that you have helped us all in avoiding the frost, and becoming warm and back. We are back."
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, would technically more warmth be a good gift for you, I guess?
It would be greatly appreciated. The red warmth especially. Just a few drops even would be appreciated. And you see the skeleton rubbing it, like picking at his the tips of the ends of each rib and his rib cage.
Hmm. I mean, it sounds rather fishy. Again, with the blood thing. Again, it's kind of general. You know, some of the advice his mother always gave him growing up was, don't give away that red blood. That's usually when talking about like fey creatures and whatnot. But he kind of feels like this probably applies overall.
Hmm. That does make sense.
He's like, well, I can definitely give you some more clear warmth, but maybe not the red one.
No, we're fine on that market. You have taken quite a good deal, and you have given us some in return, and you have given us the blessing of warmth and rejuvenation. Can you answer us this? If you answer each of our questions, if each of my questions, then we will let you pass through.
All right. I mean, no harm in that, I guess.
All right. We'll start with the with myself, me, the flesh that binds it all together, and the skin pile, its arm slaps onto the podium, and then it flops like a kind of like a wet trash bag onto the floor, and then continues to roll on itself like silly putty towards you, and it says, would you fit inside me? Could, based on the look and appearance, would we be compatible matches in our current state?
So basically, could like I wear you?
Yes.
I mean, like, given what I saw, like its overall humanoid shape, did it look like I could basically, you know, wear it essentially? Rosemary's, you know, he's a rather lanky dude.
Yeah.
sort of to his profession's sake.
It probably would. I mean, this is a huge pile of skin, and it was a tall thing, but the skeleton looks super small.
Okay.
So it may be there may be a lot of meat in there, so it may be cramped.
Okay. I kind of shrug at it. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you probably could, you know, like it might be a little snug or maybe like a little loose at certain points, but I mean, yeah, I don't see why you couldn't.
Your answer is given, and the blob rolls back and peels itself up the podium, and you just see kind of like a wet stain followed after. Now, for the second question, and the paper spider comes down and offers you its ear.
Just like one of its many ears, or
the largest of its ears?
I mean, yeah, I guess I'd lean down and pick it up.
Inside the ear, you see a hairy cube which glistens as if it's made of metal.
Okay. I mean, not sure what I'm going to do with this gift or whatever it is that it gave me, but I examine it a bit, maybe not too closely to my face. Yeah, no, I pick it up. I hold it in my hand, look at it, but again, not too close to my face.
The second answer is submitted, and the spider crawls away, leaving you with the hairy cube.
I kind of interject, like, that wasn't necessarily a question, but okay.
The skeleton now climbs its way down, and it looks almost like a child's skeleton now that you see it. It's a good thing you answered the way you did before. And it kind of it pats its head. It pats its own head and then puts one foot out, then the other foot out, and makes a wild gesture.
Noticing a bit of a pattern here, Rosemary mimics that pseudo dance thing.
Your answer is submitted, and the skeleton climbs back up. Give us a moment, and you can see that they turn to each other for deliberations. And the spider crawls over and turns back into a hat and lays itself on top of the wet human skin blob, and the skeleton goes over and puts on the skin suit backwards. As in, its head is in one of the feet sleeves, and it's very weird to look at because the foot now has a hat on the heel, and it bends down towards you.
I mean, Rosemary just sort of rolls with this. He's okay. He doesn't want to seem rude.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Indeed. We have decided to let you continue.
Yes.
We will not challenge you further here. Just remember what you have learned. And a ladder comes out of the wall, as in, like, it kind of, like, bubbles out of the wall. Like, when you melt plastic, it has, like, ridges come out of it and stuff. A ladder melts out of the wall.
Okay.
Leading to a hole in the side of the wall.
Happily climb up that ladder and just sort of really glad that he survived that interrogation in quotes.
Enjoy the new world. A foot says to you from its podium as the lights turn off in the room behind you.
The only thing Rosemary can think is, like, what the hell does that mean?
All right, so we are on another room, and it's your turn to choose. Okay. So take a flow point.
I now have three.
Woo! You can do things that you couldn't do before, like edit descriptions.
That's true.
Yep.
Okay, so this one, I'm going to do the, I really like doing the descriptions, but I'm just going to do the name this time.
Okay.
This one, it's called, Wilting Rose.
Wilting?
Like, the Wilting Rose, something like that.
All right. Okay. As you kind of walk through the doorway that you have, the ladder had brought you to, you come to the Wilting Rose, and you have to kind of like push your way down the hallway, and you can touch it, and it feels almost petally. The walls feel like petals, and then they kind of like come out, and you feel like there's like little bits of stickiness to them on tips of your fingers, and you eventually peel yourself out as a flower blossoms around you as you peel yourself out and have to squeeze you through. So you just blossomed out of a flower. And you see numerous other flowers around you. You see about four others in a row and a small pathway beneath you. And you hear a clomp, 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 and then kind of like a slick noise, like and then clomp, 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 clomp. And you can see kind of like down the walkway beneath, you see the tail of a snake on both ends of like just the tail. Like, imagine no head on a snake, just the tail that ends in another tail. And then two human legs attached to each side. And then two other human legs facing the opposite direction on the other side. So all the feet are facing towards each other. Now there's two sets. And it's walking, and then it'll kind of like go on its back and slither a little bit, and then it'll flip over and then walk on four feet awkwardly. And it just is going down the path. And it kind of like goes up to a flower and starts kicking at it. And the petals fall to the ground and then land on its back, and they kind of like curl onto it, and you can hear kind of like a little bit of mumbling, or kind of like high pitched, like and you see the little petals like moving around, and then the petals that you have just touched, you can see kind of like teeth come out of them, and they just start crying like newborn babies as the thing comes over and starts knocking on it. So you can fall with them, or you could not, whichever you want to do. If not, that'll be your obstacle.
I guess. I guess I'll fall with it. Maybe try to, like, you know, use my pole to, like, I don't know, like, kind of brace myself or something to, like, maybe make the fall less of a, you know, horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something okay. Like that.
All right. That could work. That sounds,
But what if I did the whole choosing to fail for flails?
This doesn't sound super covered under your specialty, though. I mean, like, I guess it's kind of like avoiding a trap. You're avoiding this kind of like situation.
Kind of.
Yeah. Trying to avoid the harm involved in it. So,
like, I'd rather take some shirred damage versus like another potential like 10.
Yeah, you can choose to fail for flows for this. All right, so you're choosing to fail at sticking a good landing that doesn't hurt you. Yeah. All right, so you automatically fail then, so you gain another flow point, and so choose one of those questions and answer it.
Okay, how did this go from bad to, well, this is the end, or at what point did time slow down and you realize this wouldn't work, or when have you failed before, what gave you the idea this would work this time? Okay, so what I'm thinking is, when have you failed this before? So, like, a very similar situation happened to me once. This is in my much earlier hireling days. And I was in a cave with another group of adventurers. The success of everything is neither here nor there. But I was going through, like, the cavern, and I was still new at this. I wasn't exactly, like, you have to start at the bottom. And start at the bottom I did. I accidentally fell into what seemed kind of like a, like, unbelievably deep hole. And just sort of, like, what's it called? And just kind of like a really deep, like, weirdly smooth hole kind of thing, mm-hmm. You know, probably from, you know, centuries of water and everything. But so I tried to do that before too. I was like, I'll just brace myself with this stick and, you know, it'll catch me and maybe I'll, you know, not hurt myself as bad. I guess since then I've been wanting to do that again because the situation doesn't come up very often. And I was like, I got this time. So I did that. You know, I tried to catch myself, you know, that way. And unfortunately, that just inherently doesn't work. Like, just can't succeed at that no matter what. So, yeah, that, I feel like that would be about, about the outcome of that entire thing. Like, why I thought it would work, because mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm better at it now, and I was like, oh no, this is just a bad idea.
Yeah, all right, so you gain a flow point, you already did, and you lose 3 gold.
Okay.
As it turns out, this was not a great idea, because you were clinching the pole, which means you essentially just pop an arm as it just catches yourself. And it's like, oh, the ground is hard. It's not soft. And you're holding on a little too hard. And you fall down and you spear through the half snake leg thing and you slay it. And now there are all these petals crying. And they're saying, take us, 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 take us.
Rosemary doesn't necessarily know what to do when it comes to, like, rearing petal teeth.
Take us, take us, take us to mommy. Follow the road. Take us, take us.
I think he just sort of ignores their pleading. It's just like, nope, this is too much for me. And he just sort of runs, sort of like at the most, like, blatant kind of exit.
So the road, essentially. Yeah. All right.
Completely ignoring the pleading.
You just hear screaming behind you as you go off down the road into the distance.
And you will definitely have nightmares about this for a while.
Yes. And you see the flowers on the side. They just kind of retreat down, like the stalks themselves, the ones that had lost their petals. And As you get to the end of the road, you see a doorway, and then right before you go through the doorway, you kind of like look down this kind of like intersection, like this other road that goes like that conjoins with where you are. And you look down it and you see kind of like a wilting rose, a massive wilting rose that has these snake things throwing petals into it.
Cool.
Yep. Super weird.
So, like, is this kind of like?
And it kind of and it looks like it visibly gets rejuvenated, and you hear like in a motherly voice, it goes, "Oh yes, babies, babies, give me more babies, and babes, we're so close, babies."
Is this thing kind of like in my way?
No, you just can see it from where you are before you enter the door.
Good. Oh, thank God. I was like, oh God, I want nothing to do with that.
Yes.
Like, fucking Little Shop of Horrors kind of thing.
We have enough babies. And you see it like pucker up and then spit like a stream of eggs, almost like sunflower seeds. Like they look like the eggs. You just see him spitting them up into holes in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yep. Oh, babies.
We completely rejuvenated this like hellhole of a temple.
Yep. Super fun. So, all right, moving on. the next room, as you go down a myriad or a ton of different staircases and hallways that just twist turn, and occasionally you see an eyeball just flicker at you, and you could wave at it as you pass by, whatever you do. And we come into this new room, this new glorious room, which is titled... What is it titled? It is titled the birthplace of all our sins.
Awesome.
So what is a problem that you sense?
So the problem with this room, it's like this room, you don't necessarily like, you know, touch, taste, like see, like none of that. It's more just like, it's this like oppressive, like heavy feeling on you, like kind of like the feeling that you had when you were a child, like the first time that you like really disobeyed your parents, like that horrible like shame, guilt, like and you got caught too, like, you know, disobeying them. And it's like, again, it's like the feeling of that first time, and like it's just like heavy on you, because like you feel like you're like the worst human being on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what this room conveys.
Okay. Yes, you can't see anything, and you probably won't see anything, and you just feel it. You feel it. You feel tired. You feel like, oh, I should say I'm tired so I can get away from this, but it won't get you away from this. This heavy feeling that just weighs down on your shoulder and almost makes you feel like you should collapse. And you kind of hear it almost sounds like a heartbeat, but it is not. It's like a heartbeat, and then you hear kind of like a creek open, and you hear a whooshing of water, and then a wet plop, plop, and then you hear it close, and there's no more longer a whooshing, and then you hear the heartbeat beat again, and you continue to hear that as you're just oppressed by it just emotionally oppressed.
So I just hear like repeating of the heartbeat.
Yeah.
After the weird wet plop sound.
Yep. You feel tired. There's nothing, like there's no reason to keep going. Like this is as bad as it gets. You should lay down.
Yeah.
And never get up again.
So Rosemary is going to attempt to resist.
Okay.
Because he's no dummy when it comes to, you know, the psychological traps of, you know, adventuring. Unfortunately, he isn't necessarily properly equipped for
psychological.
Yeah, psychological traps. Physical traps, yeah, that's a step.
It's still a trap.
Yeah. But he, I mean, I guess, like, he knows that this sensation, you know, he wasn't feeling it, you know, prior to then. And, like, he probably hasn't felt it, you know, prior to then in decades. So he's like, no, this can't be real. I'm just, like, I'm basically psyching myself, like, out. He's like, I just need to push. I don't know how. And so he, you know, sort of works up his, like, willpower and basically just takes his stick and just sort of blind man, you know, just kind of like makes like keeps it like as far strokes ahead of him as possible. Okay. And he just starts in a direction.
Okay. All right. So far it sounds like you're kind of like just disarming the trap of not being able to see. This is how you're going to be able to navigate.
Yeah.
Which is the big issue for exiting here is essentially navigation. So you've disarmed the trap of just being crushed via this. As you poke, 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 you hit something and you hear like a wet tap and then you hear another plop. Oh. And you can feel it move out of the way because if you tap there again, it's gone.
Okay. So like, was it like practically right next to me when
yeah.
it plopped or?
Yeah.
Fumble around where I feel like it would have dripped from.
Okay.
If at all.
All right. So are you actually like with your hands to fumble towards it?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No. He's not that brave.
All right. You poke. And you hear glass shatter.
Oops.
You hear the wet, you kind of hear like a scream and then the sound of your mother's voice, saying, it's kind of like a baby scream into an adult scream that turns into a regular voice. And it's Rosemary, what have you done?
I'm suddenly like.
That's all the sugar. I won't be able to make cakes for your. For the anniversary of your father's birthday.
Mentally and emotionally, I basically am like transported to the very first time, you know, I ever like truly disappointed my mother. And that was definitely, you know, breaking a jar of sugar. But that feeling suddenly weighs heavily on me.
We spent all of your education money on this jar of sugar. Such a rare spice. How could you do this? You betrayed me. I shouldn't have named you Rosemary. I should have named you Kale. You're terrible.
Rosemary suddenly realizes, oh, crap. That's why I'm a trap poker. that explains a lot of things, actually.
Disillusion.
he I mean, he in the heat of the moment, he kind of falls for the trap, though, and kind of, like, you know, starts to apologize towards it, you know, saying, like, I can fix this.
But you already succeeded in shaking it off. So right. Is there any way you verbally signify that you shake this through, too?
I mean, I'm thinking, like, you know, he, like, in, like, the heat of the moment, he kind of starts to try to, you know, say, like, hey, like, you know, sorry, I can fix this. He's like, wait, no, I'm in the middle of somewhere, and, like, this isn't real at all. Like, my mom, that's not my mom. Like, I'm fine. This is fine. I'm going to make through this. This is cool. I can do this. And so he, you know, kind of powers through that.
Yeah. And you continue to walk through the darkness until, with your mother scolding you in the background, and then your father yelling drunkenly where his cake is. It's the anniversary of his birth, whatever. And the darkness, you just walk out of the darkness. And you come upon the front gates where you entered through, and you see just almost like conveyor belts of like skin blobs that have just connected themselves as almost to create conveyor belts, which the skeletons use their arms to operate, almost like rolling it underneath, kind of like passing a bucket, but you use kind of like the skin from that other room as the belt, and you see the eggs being carried across it. And you see and then just lining them up, you hear a clink clink as the kind of like the metal bonds around numerous eyeballs are taken off, and they kind of like pop out of the wall, and they have like these little jellyfish type tendrils at the bottom floating underneath them as they float in the air. And all the ice is melted from this room to kind of just create a wet floor.
Yeah, definitely in contrast of how I remembered it when I first came in.
Yeah. Essentially, this is the last room, the exit. So.
Huh.
Hello.
Still need to use those flail points.
Yes. Oh. Are you making yourself a present? Are you going to tell people you're there yet? You're going to have, like, someone's going to notice if you try to sneak through.
Oh, yeah. No, I feel like there's going to be, like, way too many of them to even attempt to get by. So, okay. So what I'm thinking, though, because I have 4 flail points to use. So you said that the machinery was, like, lining up the eggs and whatnot.
Yeah, the human skin belt machinery.
Yeah.
Made out of skeletons.
So potentially what I'm assuming is, like, you know, get them to feed into the, you know, to the outside world, essentially, to probably destroy everything and take over the world again. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. You could ask them.
Like, yeah. I mean, he's making a sort of assumption about this. Again, he's a little reluctant to make himself known.
Okay.
To his to all of his new friends. So I'm gonna use two flail points to do this is not exactly what I remember.
All right.
So give another 2 flail points and answer 1. So I'm guessing sort of like how is this not what it seems. So to get into the to get into like the pyramid sort of structure thing, the hero had to sort of like essentially do like a sort of like an unlocking mechanism thing to like basically like open up like this horrible seal that you know would that basically kept all of this like contained. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was kind of like a shitty prophecy kind of thing where it's like yeah, it'll open one day and everything's gonna be awful, totally my client's fault. So I remember, you know, something along those lines. Like, it was like, what if I can like get that mechanism to lock and seal all over again? By the least, it'll like contain this, or at least contain most of it. So I want to use two sort of
okay, so there's now a seal which needs to be opened and could be closed.
Yes.
Okay. So subtract two.
Okay. And then, so doing something that isn't your thing at all. So I'll use another two for that. Mm-hmm. So when you go to do something that can't be related to your specialty, or could be described as fighting, roll a d6. Okay. So what I'm thinking is Rosemary's gonna sort of like he's that sudden like he's like met with a rush of emotions. Like, you know, he's super happy because like, yeah, like outside world. Terrified because like there are some horrible things in this place. Like that's mm-hmm. just like he just saw a fraction of it, he's sure. He's like, I need this to not exist for anything, for anybody. He's like, so like he's met with like, you know, happiness, horror, like excessive cowardice because he's like, I will probably die. Like this is probably where I'm going to die. I don't know, like just like a myriad of emotions, all of them kind of like conflicting, but at the same time bolstering each other. So like he's definitely like a bit of an emotional mess right now. But the only thing that runs through his head, like the main thing that runs through his head, is like, this cannot get out. Like they are not allowed to leave. And his first thought is like, that seal. Gotta close that seal. Mm-hmm. Gotta make sure that they will never come out of here, you know, hopefully for as long as I live. Because to be fair, like future generations and all that, he's like, it's probably gonna happen again, who knows. But like for now though,
I wanna spend my gold.
Yeah, essentially. It's almost like greed is driving him at this point. Even if it's only 7 gold.
But it's riches.
Oh, it's riches for him. So he's like, you know what? I'm gonna beeline. Like I'm gonna like all the time that he's like spent around his hero, like he's picked up stuff. Like mm-hmm. he's not gonna be the most like competent, you know, fighter. He's not gonna be like the most agile. He's the most like, you know, vitality filled. But like he's like, but I'm at least determined in this.
I have hope and effort.
Right.
If I put in 110%, I can get someone else's 100.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know what? I have my goal. I'm going to do this literally or die trying.
Okay. So you're just going to essentially sprint to the seal and close it behind you. And that's, you're doing something
pretty much like sprint there. Like maybe smack some of them out the way if something gets in the way, or just
stomp on a bunch of eggs.
Yeah, stomp on an egg or two if he has the opportunity. Pole vault over something if it gets in the way. He's gonna throw out all the stops.
Okay.
He's going to culminate every single ounce of his experience into this one moment.
Okay. And it looks really epic in your head. In reality, it's a lot of flailing and screaming and just kicking things around. And they're like, Lord, son, you're here. What are you doing? No! And just like things breaking. Skeletons like lose their head and are tripping over themselves. Skin blobs are getting mixed with other skin blobs. And you eventually just roll, like trip and roll your way out the door and then get back up and close the seal. And it shuts and they're like, no, the new world, no! As the gate shuts.
Oh man.
And that's you've exited the dungeon and can make your way home. So now we're going to do the epilogue.
Ooh.
Yep. As that is the dungeon completed. So I have two questions for you. Since you've exited the dungeon, you came out pretty good. I mean, how much gold did you have left?
7.
That's pretty good. I mean, die often here. I got two questions for you. First, what will you be doing with these riches and hard-earned knowledge?
Ooh, I mean, this may in fact be the turning point in Rosemary's life, where he's like, you know what?
Time to go back to college.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm going. Like, I did this without the help of my hero. Like, I didn't need him. And I succeeded. Just technically did. Because he died. And I didn't. So, like, technically speaking, I'm the better adventurer. Like, by some kind of weird, like, backwards logic.
Weird math that doesn't count all the horrible fights and like challenges that took place to get to the boss room.
Oh, totally. But he,
totally disregarding that.
Completely. But he's like, you know what? I can do this. This will basically be Rosemary's like turning point in life to become sort of like professional trap poker / amateur adventurer.
Hero and for fun.
And he's definitely upgrading his poking stick into a spear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he can probably afford that now.
Probably. You got 7 gold.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough for a stick and a stone.
Yeah. Like, as far as adventurers goes, he's like, I think I got this.
All right, second and last question. What will you be doing at this moment 10 years from now?
Well, I mean, assuming he doesn't die horribly in some other mishap.
No, you can say he died if you want to. You can be like, well, he's running in a ditch. Or you could be like, well, he's now a hero. Like, this is like exactly like, oh, 10 years from now, this is what happened, what I am at.
Okay, so... Unfortunately, Rosemary's, sort of delusions of grandeur, granted, he did sort of save the world, but this sort of delusions of, like, competency, let's say, led him to a very very early, very soon after Grave. Like, he finishes this adventure, gets home, chills for a few months, and then he immediately gets killed by bandits.
not even at the adventure. It's like traveling to the quest giver, killed by bandits.
Right. He's like, you know what? I think I'm ready. Time to leave this place, equipped with this brand new spear, backpack, and some rations and everything. He's like, I got this. Leaves town. He's like, he can see the fireplace, like, smoke from like his mother's house, like, in the distance. Turns around and looks at it like, yeah, I'll be home later, Mom. Then turns and just keeps walking down the road, and then just like several arrows fly into his back, and he just slams onto the ground, just dead as a doornail.
right before he dies, like, as he's falling, wait, this guy's got no money. He's broke. Look at the shitty spear.
Shit. Killed him for no reason.
Into the dark beyond. All right, so that's our wonderful dungeon that we just escaped. What would you title it? What should we call it, this beautiful dungeon?
Let's see. Since it was sort of a weird little horror-filled mess, how about, like, Pyramid, the Bleak Pyramid?
The bleakest pyramid.
Yeah, the bleakest pyramid.
Subtitle, I see you. JK Raffle.
I is spelt EYE.
Yeah, EYE. All right, so that's the end of the recording. So let me just press stop recording. Woo!